What do you make of a poll out this week that has the race for governor between Scott Walker and Mary Burke tied right now? Does that surprise you? What's your reaction to the bill that limits early voting in Wisconsin that passed in the state Senate this week? Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett is blasting it and is calling on Governor Walker to veto it. Do you think he should or not? We'll discuss the latest issues in state and national politics during this edition of The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We will also welcome your reactions, your questions, and suggestions for news stories from this week to discuss this hour at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our Week in Review guests. This week we have with us David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
And Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, and I have a new title I'm especially proud of.
What is it?
Grandfather.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, a little boy.
And his name?
Well, my Jameson.
Jameson
Joseph.
All right, Grandpa, good to have you here.
The Irish whiskey, right?
Well, you know, I'm going to pick on my son for a second. I always thought if he was going to name it after a booze, it would have been Jack.
Well, we're congratulations. That's wonderful news.
Yes.
Well, do you think it's wonderful news, Joe Winicky, that this Rasmussen poll, which many say leans conservative, shows Mary Burke and Scott Walker in a dead heat for governor?
It's not terribly surprising. One thing, and David and I may agree on this, Scott Walker seems to be permanently in that 45 to 48% number, and any Democrat is in that 43 to 45% number. Governor has a very slight advantage, but what I do not understand are all these national pundits and people in this state who seem to think that the governor is a shoo-in for re-election. This guy is in some trouble. I mean, the fact that he's universally known, 100% name recognition, and is sitting there after having spent several million dollars on his behalf by the Republican Governors Association on television, for example, and plus his own money, is sitting at a 45-45 race. And it is. I mean, Rasmussen usually does skew 1 to 2 points conservative, but so what?
Mm-hmm. Well, David, what do you think?
Well, I think Joe is right on that. If you have the steady drip, drip, drip of, what was it, 27,000 pages of emails. I don't know if I email a lot. I don't know if I've generated 27,000 pages of emails. But the interesting thing is,
your blog does.
Yeah, it does. If you look back, Joe, I think I could look at your emails too. There might be one or two things that would cause even you to blush. But of all that stuff, none of it really was on Scott Walker himself, not even an off-color joke. But it didn't help him. And so we've got that in the immediate background noise. Joe's right. There's always going to be Mr. X could run against Scott Walker and would get 45%.
One quick thing I really don't understand, though, on all this is on the email thing. Everybody talks about Scott Walker. These were Kelly Reinflesch's emails, not Scott Walker's. You know, they were 27,000 pages of emails that were released because of her situation, for better or worse. And so Scott Walker should be a peripheral act on that part of it, but he does get drawn into it. And that SKW is all over the place. I believe there is initials.
There's emails that from her to other people and from everyone.
Right.
I mean, it's a wide net. And Joy, you know, we've got John Doe too, and this. So we talk about these emails, and that's pulling Scott Walker down. Not to hijack the conversation here, but I can't get any editorial writer, I can't get any First Amendment champion to say, what are we doing here? Is this out of proportion? We're thinking here that we might have to. We're breaking into homes pre-dawn raids with guns drawn, with kitchen sink subpoenas. Because we suspect that someone may have conspired to commit free speech.
Oh, Joy, I can't let that go.
go.
No, I mean, first of all, we don't know what's in John Doe 2. We don't really know what was in much of John Doe 1.
That's the problem, isn't it?
Well, it's our system of law, and that's what you have. But what I think people ought to look at, and here's my conspiracy theorist hat, is the fact that there's like 7 or 8 separate lawsuits trying to put a kibosh on John Doe 2 tells me where there's smoke, there's fire, and somebody's trying to stop this, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on legal bills. And if I was friends of the governor right now, I'd be a little nervous.
Joe, what are they looking for? They're looking for...
Who knows?
Well, that's the problem, too. You say this is our system of justice. I'll tell you this. If this had been the 1950s, you'd have had people crying about Joe McCarthy tactics. You know, this is Star Chamber stuff. This is in secret. Nobody knows. Even the suspects are enjoined from speaking. You've got a total freeze. I mean, you know, where is the this is Putin-esque.
But if you have, in our judicial system, you have five, in this case, there's 5 judges overseeing John Doe 2. I believe 3 of them are generally considered of a more liberal bent, 2 of them of a more conservative bent, and then you've got a presiding judge over that. So you've got 6 supposedly impartial people that are keeping their mouths shut, and all we do is speculate. We shouldn't even be spending any time on this.
Well, we aren't going to move on from this, because we have many other stories from this week that we have to cover. The state Senate did pass this bill that restricts hours for in-person absentee voting, early voting. It would stop it from happening on weekends, which is currently the case in cities like Madison and Milwaukee and larger cities. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett yesterday blasted the legislation as mean-spirited and an attempt to disenfranchise voters in Democratic cities like Milwaukee, and he's calling on Governor Walker to veto it. So, David Blaska, should the governor veto that bill?
I hope not. I mean, I don't think he should. You know, look, what is this all about? You have a city like Milwaukee with a city clerk's office of probably a couple hundred people who can be deployed and given time off versus a small town, let's just say that in Wisconsin, you know, where Joe's in Dane County, where Joe's familiar, the town of Springfield, let's say, or the town of York, a rural town. There's not even a hamlet in the town of York that I know of. So you've got maybe a lady who's a town clerk. Can she man the office and then do the weekend as well? This is a disadvantage. In other words, you talk about disenfranchising people. It's disenfranchising the small towns that can't afford to have Saturday voting.
Yeah, well, why does that disenfranchise them if there's fewer people in smaller communities?
Because the advantage that I would have living in the city is that I could vote on a Saturday, but if I lived in the town of York, I could not vote on a Saturday. The advantage goes to the big city. And Joy, I have to reject this idea that it disenfranchises minorities. Joe, I don't know where you folks would be if you couldn't play the race card and play it promiscuously. Somehow or another, people of color can't get to the polls. That's news to me.
You're the one who just injected color.
Well, Joe,
you did.
I did.
Well, what's wrong with the Senate passing?
What's wrong with local control? Mm-hmm. You know, Republicans, when I was in the legislature, the mantra of local control, including by your father, get the government out of the mandate business. Quit telling the local governments what to do. If the town of York or the town of Springfield chooses to stay open at night to allow people to vote, that's their call. If the city of Milwaukee chooses to do that, that's their call. Why do you guys keep wanting to mandate this? Because you're trying to get an election advantage. Just like Scott Walker, one that bothers me even more than this one, is Scott Walker saying he wants to call a special session on voter ID if the courts strike down as unconstitutional, so it'll be in place for this November's election. I wonder why, Scotty.
Joe,
who's up?
Joe, I've got to make a correction for the record here. First of all, David Blaska did not introduce race into this conversation. If anyone did, it was Senator Tim Carpenter of Milwaukee.
I'm talking about today.
Well, but no, today. I mean, this is sort of like, talking about the crash of the Titanic. I didn't crash the Titanic. Even if I'm talking about it today, Tim Carpenter, in debate on this bill, said that Mary Lozich, a senator from New Berlin, I believe, that she hates blacks and Latinos.
That's not what she said at all.
You
got to stop those Republican talking points, David.
No,
that's not what he said.
That is a quote from what he said.
And that was a misquote of what he said. Let's take a listen to what he actually said. Here's a little clip from that floor debate.
I know the senator from the 28th hates Milwaukee. She hates the poll workers. She hates that blacks and Latinos are coming out.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Yes.
He hates that that blacks and Latinos are coming out, was interrupted, and he went on further to explain. I was going to say, he said, that they are coming out to vote Democratic.
I think that's racist. I mean, I'm sorry, but he's interjecting race there into it. It's not just the people are voting Democrat, that the blacks and Latinos are voting Democrat.
I love the decorum of the Senate nowadays.
That is introducing. Well, yes, when you accuse a person of being racist, I don't back off from that at all. And Tim Carpenter has done that time and time and time again. And so you talk about decorum, Joe. And this whole idea on voter ID, I mean, we're kind of segueing into that, is that I think it's a racist meme to say that a person of color can't abide by the same rules that anyone else does and get an ID. You've got to get an ID to get cough medicine from the
pharmacy.
Why
do you guys want to make it so hard to vote? Why shouldn't it be easy? I mean, the fraud in this state. Come back now and tell me all about the fraud we have in Wisconsin. I mean, I'm sure that you found a case somewhere. There was that Republican from Onalaska.
Yes,
we found
right.
one.
Yeah.
One. Out of 3 million people voting.
Recently. Well, you know what? I'm sure that, first of all, is it better to prevent voter fraud than to catch it? I think it's better to prevent. Certainly, it's easier to prevent voter fraud. Voter fraud is a very difficult thing to prove, and frankly, it's not a high priority under any district attorney that I know of or have read about. It's you know, the crime is not quite as salacious or as vicious as a personal assault, for instance.
Let me jump in, because I did want to ask both of you the Tim Carpenter comment. It did result in the Republicans demanding an apology from Senator Carpenter for making those remarks. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel also thought that he should apologize, even though they did clarify that he didn't say that Senator Lozet hated blacks and Latinos.
He hated that they vote Democrat.
That she hated that they did vote Democrat, right?
Yeah.
So should he apologize for making those remarks?
Yeah. Why introduce race into this? I mean, this is what I'm saying here. Somehow Democrats are not able to get an ID that's free. And there's three, as I understand the law, the bill. There's three ways you can sign a thing saying I can't afford it, this or that. They are free. This has been upheld by the Supreme Court. Indiana had the same. So eventually, I think it will be upheld. You know, the Commission on Federal Election Reform, headed by Jimmy Carter and James Baker in 2005, said the electoral system can't inspire public confidence if no safeguards exist to deter or detect fraud or confirm the identity of voters. Photo IDs currently are needed to board a plane, enter federal buildings, cash a check. Voting is equally important. In fact, on the NAACP National Convention they had recently, they said, bring your ID.
All right, Joe.
This is one of like 30 different proposals that the Republicans are doing to try and reduce Democratic votes. Why should Tim Carpenter apologize for saying what is true?
How does he know that that's true?
Well, we know based on polling data that Latinos and blacks vote heavily Democratic.
Well,
that's all he said.
How they elect Representative Rodriguez then in
South Milwaukee?
South Milwaukee, yeah, right. Does the Republicans hate that Hispanic vote?
No.
Or what?
Well, the point,
it's
an anomaly, but that is actually an anomaly in a weird way, because that's not a majority Hispanic district.
And that degrades any conversation, Joe, that you're in.
You keep bringing up race on this.
No,
I actually
Carpenter's
didn't.
The one that brought up race.
I didn't know he was on the show. You were.
Well, then we can't talk about it because he's not on the show. Is that what you're saying?
No, we can talk about all
you
want.
I am, yeah. But
unless Joy tells us
we can't. We actually have a caller who wants to get back. We're kind of mixing all of these issues together, and I understand they're related, but the bill that the Senate passed was not voter ID. The bill that the Senate passed was limiting in-person absentee voting, telling communities that they had to have certain hours. And Ken in Iron River is with us, and I guess he objects to that. Hi, Ken.
Hi. Well, I think that it's just silliness to be trying to restrict the absentee voting. If somebody has a problem and they have to vote on the weekend because they won't be around on Tuesday, let them vote. Whatever happened to local control?
Well, all right, Ken, here's the argument. I just wanted the Republicans in the state Senate said that in Iron River, your clerk's not going to open on the weekend. So that's not fair to you that Milwaukee and Madison have the staffing to open on the weekend. So they're saying no, don't be open on the weekend.
My office is my house. What do you mean I can't open on weekends? If somebody called me up on 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Saturday and says, I need an absentee ballot. I have to vote. Okay, come on over. Well, what's the problem?
All right, so Ken is the town clerk. All right.
Pardon?
No, but the point on, I guess what it's saying is, it's up to the people of the town of Iron River through their elected officials whether they want to be open more hours or not. Just because the law, in its current situation, they don't have to be open at any time.
I will remind you, and you may have had a hand in making this law, but I think it probably even precedes your time in the state Senate, is that statute defines when you may be open. Now, you get an extra hour, but I think all polls have to be closed by, I think, 8, but you can close earlier. There's mm-hmm. 1 hour, but there's not much of a leeway there. I think from 6 to 8, but it could be from 7 to 7, but you don't have much leeway there. It's just a little wiggle room, but not very much. My point is, statute has always defined voting to make it fair in a statewide situation, so that someone in Superior and someone in Kenosha, they've basically got the same kick at the can.
For most of my political career, the city of Verona opened its polls at 7 a.m. The town of Verona opened its polls at 9 a.m. I mean,
they were allowed to do that within that range.
But the point is, it wasn't uniform then either. The point should be that local people should make decisions for local elections.
Fine. Yeah.
Let's take quick break, and we have many other callers who still want to talk about early voting or voter ID. We'll talk about that a little bit more, but move on to some other issues in this edition of The Week in Review. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Week in Review. Today we are talking with Joe Winicky, former state senator, former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, and David Blaska, former Dane County supervisor, about the top stories in state and national politics this week. Talked quite a bit about some voting-related issues that were in the news. Also in the news is that this week state representative... State Senator Jennifer Schilling introduced a bill that would create, actually, a constitutional amendment that would stop any attacks on the right to vote, thinking that we needed to reaffirm our right to vote because of the bills that are whittling away at it. Joe Winicky, is something like that needed?
Gosh, I wish it wasn't. I think it's kind of scary that it is, but after watching the onslaught of the last 3 years by this Republican majority on voting rights, I guess you have to. So hats off to Jen Schilling. She usually does good.
Well David, why wouldn't something like that be needed?
Well, it's Jennifer Schilling posing for holy pictures. Are you going to have... I give her credit. I mean, this is a little bit of street theater in the halls of the legislature. It certainly sounds good. We have a thing called the Constitution. If any of the things we've talked about, Joy, whether it's voter ID or even the weekend thing, I'm sure the Democrats will litigate it. They've been litigating absolutely everything that this legislature has done. They're certainly going to litigate voter ID. In fact, that was argued, I think, last Monday, not this week, but Monday ago, in the state Supreme Court. We've had court decisions on it. That will be litigated, and perhaps it should be. But a voters' rights bill, I think that's called the Constitution.
Let's take another call from Bill in Lancaster. Hello, Bill.
I'm kind of curious. This fall, thousands of high school students will move on to college, and they're going to be leaving here in Lancaster and going to Madison. Are they going to allow student IDs to be... allowed for this voter ID problem? And then on the local control of the polling booths, my township has something like 200 voters. I mean, we have no problem. We walk in, we get it done. My issue is the thousands of voters in Madison and Milwaukee that can't just walk in and have maybe 200 people to talk to.
Yeah. So, what about David? There are just more people that need to early vote in Madison or Milwaukee, or also be big long lines on election day.
Yeah, big long lines on election day. I guess college students wouldn't know anything about big long lines. I don't have anything more to say on that.
All right, Joe.
Well, the big issue with college students is that one of the very first things they're going to have to do is make sure that their current address is there and they have an ID with it. The problem in college, it may not be the first time. It's that your typical student moves four or five times in that 4 or 5 years they're in school. Usually every year they're in a new place.
And Joe, that's why you want voter ID. Seriously,
What is the problem? I know what the problem is. These young people skew Democratic. So you're trying to hurt the elderly and the disabled and the poor and minorities and young people because that's the Democratic
base.
Joe,
the example that I always get, and I think from Iron River too, is I know Sarah, she's 86 years old. She's been voting since McKinley, Why do I have to have voter ID? No, you don't. It's always the bad cases that people bring up. But the fact of the matter is we are an incredibly mobile society. And to be honest about it, ID theft is a huge thing. There's all kinds of document stories of gangs coming in, coming in a van. They'll go in an apartment building, they'll write down the addresses. They'll then go to the polling place and say, here's my address, blah, 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 I'm voting. And they'll do this in various places. So this terrible burden of actually showing a photo ID. Joe, you've got one in your wallet right now, and so do I.
You know, when you were talking about, we always bring up this 86-year-old woman, what did you just do? I mean, you did the exact same thing, you know, bringing up the supposed gangs of people, I assume they were black, that were coming in.
Again, the race thing.
You brought it up, David.
I didn't race it at all, but you do that all the time. And all you Democrats do that because I don't want black people
to vote. And you bring up voter fraud, David. You bring up voter fraud, and then you come up with, I guess there's the one case I know of is the Republican legislative staffer who voted twice. Right. That's the only one I know of. That's one.
Recently.
So if you're going to say that we're always bringing out these, you know, these little isolated stories, what are you doing?
And I want to get back to the caller brought up two different points. And what the caller was saying, in my small township, we only have a few people. We don't have a problem with the people who want to vote early, getting to vote early, and that bigger cities need weekends. So that was his point.
Bigger cities have huge staffs too. You can walk in.
And he's saying it's not a big deal in the small city or the small community.
Exactly. So, but what I'm saying here is they're making it easy for people to vote in one place, but not in another place that doesn't have the resources. Now, I have nothing. Look, I'll sponsor if it helps it at all. Let's make voting easier, but you also have to make it uniform. To some degree, you have to make it uniform and not give certain people an advantage in certain geographic areas and have. So it's not a big deal with me. I mean, I could just soon vote against that. I don't think it's the I'm a little bit amazed at the attention it's getting.
Well, you know, John Nichols was on this show this week, and he said what we should do is put some more resources in it so the rural communities can be open longer during...
John has never seen a tax that he didn't want to raise.
Well, why would that have to raise a tax?
Well, it would cost something. He's talking about resources. What are you talking about resources?
He says make it easier to vote, don't make it harder to
vote.
You
said put the resources in so they would, and resources... I see dollar signs. I mean, there's a cost there. I mean, nothing's free. Speech isn't free.
Freedom isn't free, David.
All right. Well, let's. We have another caller. Let's go to
right,
Greg
Joe.
In Pewaukee. Hello, Greg.
All right, Joe.
Good morning. I have a comment, and maybe it will lead into a question on a different topic. I think our governor and his very biased political group in our state legislature is wasting our tax dollars that we use to support our elected officials to do positive things for the state. The reason I say that is everything we've talked about this morning has just been petty politics. Clearly, there's an agenda to gerrymander. Instead of taking our energies and putting them toward better environmental control, so if we do have a mine in the north that's 4 miles by one, it will be environmentally safe. We don't know that it is.
We got the mine worked in.
Yeah, you know what? We're not going to necessarily go moving into the mine because there was. Well, maybe we can, but why is the legislature going after election law rather than, you know, whatever, you know, jobs, the environment, things that that Joy, really matter.
Joy, why is this show doing that? I don't know. I mean, you're running a good show here, but we've been talking about it for most of the show. We haven't talked about...
The legislature's been doing
that. We haven't talked about Scott Walker's tax cuts. We haven't talked about $2 million. We haven't talked about...
It's called the week in review. I know that,
but sure. But let's have... I'm just asking for some perspective here, is that this is one bill... And you can, you know, that's fine to agree or disagree with. I don't mind that at all. But to say, as our caller seems to indicate, that this is the only thing that the legislature has done, I mean, this is fantastic.
It is.
We've had a multi-million dollar tax cut for the first time in ever, at least 30 years. We've had 2 years straight where property taxes haven't increased. We've had a tuition freeze at the University of Wisconsin. So I can go on and on about that. So, I mean, let's not say that this is, you know, and to say that the legislators are biased but our caller isn't, well, okay.
Well, there's actually 12 separate pieces of election legislation that's maneuvering through there this week, all aimed at curtailing the right to vote. Historically, next week's supposed to be the last of the regular legislative session. It's a little early than usual, but not ridiculously
right.
So.
Very often April.
But, you know, in the good old days, I guess, you know, in those last weeks, major legislation was going through both houses. These guys aren't doing anything on the job front. They're not doing anything except, well, on education, they're trying to, you know, reduce the ability of public schools to function again. They're doing nothing, and I think that's what the caller was trying to say. Why are they doing all these petty bills? Well, because they think it can help them in November. But, you know, whatever happened, and by the way, Democrats, I'll blame on this too, where are the big thinkers anymore? Where is the stuff where we're talking about, you know, fixing our tax code, our education system.
They should fix a tax code, but I'm not hearing that from Mary Burke either. Let's be honest about that. The governor has talked about simplifying the tax code. I'd like to see some legislation on that. Maybe we'll in the next...
He gave a broad brush to it. He hasn't said a single thing he wants to do.
And no one has, but I agree with you on that, Joe, that I'd like to see the tax code simplified. There, you know, Paul Ryan's talking about that in the federal government, but we're not getting that done. It's a divided government there.
We do have a workplace survey from Manpower Group Incorporated is predicting job creation in Wisconsin and Metro Milwaukee will go up in the April to June quarter. In the Milwaukee area, 27% of area companies said that they plan to add employees during that period. Meanwhile, the Department of Workforce Development reported a drop in the state unemployment rate yesterday, down to 6.1%. The state added 106,000 jobs between December of 2010 and December of 2013. Well, Joe, is the economy getting better?
Yeah, I think the national economy, I think the world economy is getting better. I think the Wisconsin economy is getting marginally better, but any empirical evidence shows that the Wisconsin economy is growing at about roughly half the rate of the nation as a whole, because the nation as a whole has been a little over 2 and Wisconsin's been a little over 1. That's a fact. Now, you know, Manpower came up with a pretty good, rosy scenario for, you know, I think April through June period, the second quarter, and nationally, and Wisconsin as well. And that's a good thing. Now, the Republicans will continue to say it's no good for Obama, but it's Scott Walker's dream. Well, if you go just by empirically again, the workforce development bragging about the 106,000 jobs, that makes Scott Walker 35% of the way to his goal with 11 months to go. He's got a jobs problem, and that's why I don't understand, getting back to the last caller, why this legislature isn't laser beam focusing, even if it's on narrow job issues, on the jobs issue, and they're ignoring it.
Well, let me just bring up, since the caller, we'll give him his due here from Iron River, wherever it was, you know, this legislature, this governor, is allowing iron mining in Iron County. You know, are those jobs? Are they well-paying jobs? But we had the Democrats to a woman voting against mining for iron in Iron County. Can't be done. So there's your jobs. But if I usually get the idea that your tribe on your side of the aisle, Joe, when they talk about job creation, they're talking about government jobs.
No, don't stereotype.
I'm going to.
I guess you are.
Yeah.
By the way, what I'm all
well,
for,
what kind
I'm
of jobs,
all for mining, by the way. I'm not,
you,
it's on our flag, but
right.
not mining.
It is
at,
on our flag,
not,
yes.
at, not mining without a cost. And if you can prove that that mine could be done safely, which in this case, the company and the WMC wrote the mining law, how do we know? Why can't there be a legitimate safeguard so the people up there aren't scared to death, so where we can create the jobs that this mine might have and make sure that the Pinoki Range is protected?
Joe, would you agree? Well, we can, I don't know if you want to debate the mining thing, but the previous mining law that you may have had a hand in writing basically said you can litigate this thing forever, and therefore, which of course the environmental groups did, so the result was there was no mine.
There have been lots of mines in the last 30 years. I remember a very controversial mine that happened in Flambeau.
You have to go about 30 years ago. That's
no,
my
the
point.
Flambeau mine up by Ladysmith was very controversial, but we had the regulations and it worked.
They closed a good 20 years ago.
When they ran out of the material.
Yes, yeah. And they're none started since.
Here's another new poll that's out showing deep support for raising the minimum wage in Wisconsin and raising it to $10.10 an hour. So, David, should we raise the minimum wage to $10.10 an hour?
Oh, I'm going to play Mr. Scrooge here, I guess. You know, why not raise it to $20.20 an hour?
Because $10.10 is the number.
I know, but I understand that, Joy. I'm just saying, why not be really generous and make it, because not only could you support a family of four, you could support a family of five. You know, I guess I do believe in the opportunity wage, which Wisconsin has for young people. We've seen studies that the problem with poverty is not that the wage is minimum, is that there's no jobs at all. I still think you need that first rung on the ladder to climb that ladder. Otherwise, that ladder is not available. I think about the movie It's a Wonderful Life, for instance, where young Bailey, he delivers drugs for the pharmacist. Who does that anymore? Who bags groceries, Joe?
Miller's in Verona.
Well, they might, yeah. Yep. That's a small thing. But that's disappearing. You go to the grocery stores, the supermarkets I'm familiar with in Madison. You've got a whole generations not growing up working. And when I had those kind of jobs, I was determined, you know what? I am going to go to college. I am. Because I'm not going to do this all my life.
More specifically, the 77% of the registered voters polled by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee said they supported increasing the minimum wage to some extent. When asked specifically, should it be 10 an hour, 57% said yes, that's what we ought to do. Do you think that's going to happen, Joe?
Not with this legislature and governor. Now, saying that, 10 is an arbitrary number. You can pick whatever number you want. I think Craig Culver, the CEO of Culver, has a wonderful idea. And that's where you create a much higher minimum wage. And he said it could be higher than 10. Then create an opportunity wage for teenagers or the like, and that maybe that first 6 months of employment.
We have that now.
But it's at below poverty level numbers. You've got to increase this and reflect the reality of inflation. But where I would argue the strongest thing you could do with the minimum wage is index it to inflation. Then you get away from this perennial fight where liberals and Democrats bring out studies that show that this is good for everybody, and then the WMC and conservatives bring out a study saying it's going to cost jobs. I mean, this tired old song, it goes back and forth. But $7.25 an hour, you cannot even possibly live on if there's two of you making it.
Here's another one. Wisconsin Democrats introduced this week legislation to require paid sick days, including Democratic State Representative Corey Mason of Racine. And it would be employers would be required to provide 9 paid sick days a year. If you have fewer than 10 workers, they would have to provide 5 sick days a year. What do you think of that, David?
The same.
Scrooge.
Yeah. I guess if you want to. That's not going to pass, number one. I don't know if any. They've tried this, obviously, in Milwaukee, and I think they had it in Madison for a while, too. It's the idea that government grants, and they're very generous, by the way, with other people's money. This is an easy way to feel good. It's an easy way to pose for holy pictures. It doesn't cost the legislature anything to mandate what private sector business must do. Look, if businesses want to to give benefits and keep workers that are good workers. They want to be competitive. This is just more bureaucracy. It's a small bore Obama care kind of situation where, goodness sakes, you know, I can just see they're gonna. You know, Joe, you object to this, but I can see where this is going to hire a lot more. It's going to do great for the job count. It's going to hire a lot more government workers to regulate this.
I don't know why it would cost any more government workers.
Well, you have to regulate it.
You know, it
to
really,
make sure people are complying with it.
It really
doesn't
matter.
To make sure you filled out the forms. To investigate, to go and see.
Okay, Mr. Orwell.
To handle the inevitable adjudication, the complaints, the defense. Oh, yeah, it's a whole industry.
David, okay. Are you done?
Your thoughts on mandatory sick days.
I'm for them, but, you know, here's the point. Even if you did it at the local level, if Milwaukee or Madison does this right-wing legislature of ours is going to pass a new law saying that they can't do it, just like they did on local, you know, living wage ordinances.
No.
The only complaint I have is, and Corey Mason's probably the best thinker the Democrats have on big issues in the legislature, but we're as bad as the Republicans when we do this in the last days of a session, when we just do it for a talking point.
We are going to take a short pause, and we're going to move on to some other issues. Got a lot of other issues that we have to talk about. And we have our Week in Review quiz, and we have whatever you might want to talk about. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with David Blaska and Joe Winicky. This is the Week in Review here on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Week in Review. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with David Blaska and Joe Winicky about the top state and national news stories of the week. It's time now for our Week in Review quiz. The Lake Superior ice caves are closing this weekend after they reopened in January for the first time in 5 years. Over the last 3 months, the caves and their unique ice formations have attracted a steady stream of visitors to the lakeshore. How many, according to the most recent estimate, how many people have visited the ice caves? I was one of them last weekend, but anyway, that's our Week in Review quiz. Give us your guess and the chance to win a fabulous prize. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll give you 5 minutes to guess, and then we'll reveal the randomly selected winner and the answer at the end of the Week in Review. Okay, well, let's move on to some other issues. There's a lot to talk about, and I know, David, you said you're at a disadvantage at this one issue that has come up a lot with emails. Republican leaders this week used a procedural trick to block a vote that would help cancer patients pay for chemotherapy. Under the bill, insurance companies would have to charge the same rate for chemotherapy, whether it's delivered intravenously or with a pill. Trying to even that out. The plan has broad support in the state legislature, bipartisan support, but Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald says not a majority of Republicans favor this bill, so he is blocking it. Turns out his brother is lobbying against that particular bill. Joe, you know about this bill. What are your thoughts on it?
Oh, well, I respect Scott Fitzgerald. I've known him for many years, but he is being outrageous on this, using a parliamentary trick to basically move a bill, reintroduce a hearing so that it does, the Democrats don't have time to try and pull the bill is what he's doing. So that to stop a bill that part of the pharmaceutical industry hates because it might cost them some of their profits, we're talking about people who might die. And for him to do this in the waning days of the session and then knowing that his brother, who used to be the speaker, is a lobbyist or a spokesman for part of that big pharma, it's just terrible. And Scott, I like you. Show some common sense on this. This is about people's life and death's decisions. Do not stop this bill.
Yeah, this would help cancer patients get insurance coverage for in-home chemotherapy treatment. And the pill would cost as much as the intravenous treatment, I guess, trying to even that out. So based on that, David, your reaction, should this bill...
I don't know if I'm hearing the whole story here. This is total news to me, and I know people think they comment on things I don't know anything about, but I don't, and not always. Anyway, this is one of those.
All right, well, do you know anything about the e-cigarette and the hurdle that it passed, this, a bill that would allow electronic cigarettes to be smoked indoors, cleared a Wisconsin Senate committee this week?
Joy, you didn't tell me there's going to be a test. I just...
All right, well, it's the concept.
Well, I understand.
All right.
It's vaping. It's
Republican vaping, Senator Glenn Grothman, the sponsor of the bill, said that people should be able to smoke these e-cigarettes indoors. He says that he has never smoked them, and that he, though, has been around them, and he cannot smell the vapor. Smokers use e-cigarettes as a way to try to quit smoking.
He's absolutely right about that, Joy. I've been in a room with a small booth with a person who is vaping like that, and I can't smell anything. As far as I know, it's water vapor. But it helped that person, and is helping that person get off of real cigarettes, which she was quite a cigarette smoker. So, I'm not a scientist, and I haven't studied it, but it looks like it's. I don't think it's. In other words, is it a gateway toward real smoking? I don't think so. I think it's more expensive.
I think it's the opposite.
Yeah, I think it is too. So I think it's a good thing. It's going to probably do more than the patch, you know, or Nicorette or anything like that.
Yeah, the concern is by doctors and scientists that have shown up to talk about this particular bill is that we don't know enough about that.
I'd have to know what Jeff Fitzgerald thinks about it first before I could venture an opinion.
But it wouldn't bother you. You think that we should?
Oh, I sure, because, you know, I like I say, I've been in a very small, almost like a closet, you know. With a person who is vaping, as they call it, these e-cigarettes,
vaping.
And it's called vaping.
Mm-hmm.
And
that sounds really bad.
It's not vamping. And
by the way, it might surprise some people, but if science says there's no major harmful chemicals coming out of these things, we should allow them.
Right.
Because if it can help stop somebody from the scourge of 40 years of cigarettes, why are we playing nanny staters on this?
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that. No, I didn't bring up nanny state. I just want the record to indicate.
Yeah. In any case, I guess some of the doctors who oppose it say they don't know if they're safe yet.
Then continue to keep studying it. In the meantime, don't pass something.
Don't legislate,
and let it sit for now. Find out if these things have any dangers to them. Then make the call.
Yeah. Well, let's...
If you'd said that about asbestos, you know, I mean, just to be honest.
Well,
kind of
did.
We kind of did. Yeah, we kind of did. So.
Well, speaking of asbestos...
quiz denied.
A bill that Democratic opponents say would slow asbestos exposure lawsuit has cleared the Wisconsin State Senate.
Oh. David, this is good.
This is steady drip, drip, drip here. I don't know. You know, I don't know anything about it. I'm sorry. You know, but Joe, I got to ask you a question. I've done a little bit of study on last set. There's a lot of bills been introduced for holy pictures. Spencer Black in the 2011, he issued a bill in the very 3 weeks from adjournment to revamp the redistricting process. No sponsor. My question is, aren't a lot of these bills introduced at the end just to kind of look good?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's purely for holy pictures for the next election.
Yeah. Well, right. And here's the thing too. On all of this stuff that we've been talking about, including the overtime pay rules and whatnot. If you really were serious about it, the Democratic legislature, who was just 2 years ago, could have put this into place. There's a lot of all this stuff that we've got Senator Schilling and whatnot coming out with. They could have done it. They had a Democrat governor, Democrat legislature, both houses. All this good legislation that we're talking about today, Joy, they could have passed all this stuff. It could have been the New Deal. It could have been 1911 Wisconsin, the Progressive Revolution, and they could have had all this stuff, but they didn't do it for a good reason, because not good public policy.
These guys should have done redistricting and a pox on their house for not doing
And they should have, and they could have, but they wanted to.
Russ Decker was having his strings pulled by someone. And
that's right.
Who, too.
Do you want to comment on the asbestos bill?
I don't know squat about it.
Right. As best I know.
Because this stuff, happened this week, that's why we're covering it.
It's news to me. I'm glad it came to these shows.
Wisconsin, All right. Wisconsin schools are one step closer to having flexibility to teach more hours per day, but fewer days per year. The state Senate unanimously passed a bill this week on Tuesday that now heads to the Assembly. And it would allow the State Department of Public Instruction to reimburse schools for periods outside the regular and summer school calendars. And kids would be could be in school longer days, but fewer days. What is this a good idea, Joe?
It might be, but I'm okay with it. But I do want to caution one thing. I can see where you could really start condensing the schedule and just keeping them kids there for an extra hour, hour and a half. And have, one of the big things there truly is when you have too long of a summer break, there becomes a brain drain. That kids get away from school too long. Mm-hmm. And I don't want this to become an excuse so that we can all the tourism industry will now say you got to have school. It'll back be to March, you know, May and after Labor Day on everything. And you have to have everything spread out because they can always add 50 minutes a day or something.
It sounds like more local control to me, Joy. You know, Joe is worried about that. Sounds like more local control.
But I'm actually okay with the bill. I'm just saying there are cautions.
Yeah. Okay, good enough.
All right, well, let's see. What do we have time for? I'll have to get another one that you guys
Badger
don't know
basketball.
About. Here, I bet you, David, you know about this one. State Representative Christine Sinicki said this week she will not return payments that she received from the state as mileage reimbursement while she was driving back and forth to Madison with a suspended license. She said it was an oversight. She didn't. It was because of an unpaid parking ticket or something, and that she's not as some Republicans have asked her to going to return that per diem mileage payment.
Yeah, I'm not one to play a lot of gotcha, but Christine Sinicki has sort of been the poster boy for bad behavior in the legislature. Tweeting profanities while the governor is speaking is got her on my watch list, and so she's, you know, that's how you earn. There's a lot of these independent, quote unquote, news gathering agencies that, you know, have a political agenda on the left and on the right. So they're after Christine Sinicki because of that tweeting, and let's face it. And they're saying, but boy, you know, she's been threatened with foreclosure and whatnot. This is someone who's writing the budget, so she kind of brought this on herself with some bad behavior. I mean, we talk about. You know, people accusing members of the legislature of racism. Joe, I know you never did that.
And I did.
Did you really?
Probably.
Well, then now you're confessing. That's good. That's good. It's good for the soul. But so we talk about a dysfunctional legislature and whatnot. This is part of it.
Oh, by the way, one correction, Joy. It's not per diem. It's a weekly mileage reimbursement.
Okay.
It's under the Assembly and Senate rules. You get one round trip from your home back and forth, no matter where you live. And she didn't know her driver's license was suspended. There's nothing in the rules of the Assembly or Senate that says if you have a suspended license, you don't get paid. So
right.
This is just, David's right. This is an attempt by certain people who are mad at her to pile on. And and she should not have to give that money
back. But there is a pattern there of personal irresponsibility and not knowing that your license was suspended is part of that.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a Republican named Jim Steinecke. It happens.
I've
never had my license suspended as far as I know.
I wasn't going to ask. But my only point is, you know, I don't play the gotcha game. I don't like that. But she drew this to herself. I mean, you have to have a standard of conduct, I think, that we expect of our legislators.
They're making her whole thing a mountain out of a molehill.
We have to say congratulations to Bill in Lancaster, the winner of our Week in Review quiz. According to a recent estimate, how many people have come to visit the Lake Superior ice caves this winter? And the answer is 120,000 at last count. There's been more since that. That was the count as of last Sunday. The ice caves will be closed by Sunday night, this coming Sunday night at the latest, due to safety concerns brought about by melting lake ice.
Yay. And,
the melting lake ice, you were cheering, right?
Yes, that's right.
No, that's
probably up there. It's only 7 feet
coming.
Deep.
It's out there somewhere.
So, Joe, David, have you been to the ice caves?
No, but I know people who have, and they've driven, you know, quite, you know, it's quite a ways up there.
It really is. Yeah. It's 6 hours away. I can tell by personal experience.
I've been there when there was no ice.
In a kayak?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very nice. Anyway, congratulations to Bill in Lancaster. You win a Wisconsin Public Radio bottle opener, which you've always wanted. Thanks very much, Joe and David. Great to have you here. David Blaska, former Dane County Supervisor, and Joe Winicky, former State Senator, former Chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. This is the Week in Review on the Ideas Network.